fucking fantastic.
Oh, I gotta set up the live stream.
Real quick, did you get the image I sent? And will that work, Shane? I sent it in the chat.
Private chat or the
private chat
signal?
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves. Bill, welcome to the show, man. Really thank appreciate you, so you coming on, my man.
Appreciate it. Really appreciate the opportunity.
It's nice to meet you. I can see you've come equipped with your cavalry officer's hat and a gigantic bookshelf full of books.
Yeah.
It's a nice small collection.
It's not a green screen, is it?
It's not. No. These are legit.
It's just a really good AI green screen.
You can actually grab the book.
You can actually grab books. It's getting good.
Yeah, it is. AI is amazing.
Bill, if you could just like scoot to the side and zoom in, I'd like to see your books. I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got the graphic, Jordan.
Okay. And I can make that like bigger or change it, but I think that'd be good to shoot out there at some point.
Yeah. And does this take you to the website?
It takes you to the website that Preston linked to in that Noster note.
Hey, I was planning on starting off with a Stetson on, but if you hear feedback because I'm not using headphones, I can easily jettison this.
Sounds no, good. You're good. Either way, it's up to you.
No feedback detected.
Okay. If you hear anything, just let me know. I'll quickly go to these then. If I need to.
No, please leave that on. That's hot.
We ain't shy either. If there's something weird going on, we'll say something.
Awesome. Yellow's in the house. Why is Mike Hobart in color? What the fuck?
What's in the house?
Mike, what is that about, man?
It's literally like everyone just keeps commenting on my profile picture on Twitter.
Oh, I got you.
It's because Bill stole Mike's shirt, apparently. Bill's got the black Mike shirt.
He did.
Mike's about to open up his own tech company. He needs to look the part.
Right? That's I just need to get the black turtleneck like Steve.
Yeah. You can't waste your time thinking about what you're going to wear. That's time you could be thinking about something important.
I mean, I do have like, I think, 12 black shirts in my closet. So,
hey, do you have any specific areas you want me to dive into as opposed to others? Anything specifically? Or is it dealer's choice?
We'll ask the questions around here. Yeah.
Sir, please sit down.
I've always wanted to say that to a lieutenant colonel.
Stand by for a thorough interrogation. It'll be fun. We'll make it fun. We'll do story time. And it's story time is where we take our guest and we ask them to tell us something that was either super challenging or super shitty that happened in the military that in hindsight is really funny now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those are always good stories. Guys, I'm going to be getting the Twitter spaces up and running here, so feel free to talk amongst yourselves. Everybody, welcome to the show that's already here for the pre-show. We have Bill Stebbins on with us tonight. We do this at about 6:45 every Wednesday night.
Oh, did you believe me when I said it was at 7 p.m.? Suckers. If you're not here early, you're late. Okay? This is the military.
Hey, man, you guys got 15. Can we just commend Jordan's job on his posting on Twitter lately? Some of this stuff is just pure gold. I mean, the sun beside the tree with red eyes. He's been crying and, he's been smoking pot. Dad, no. You've been shitcoining.
Well, that was actually somebody in one of the group chats that shared that. And I would have given him credit in the tweet, but I couldn't find him on. You have guys like Signal Anon names and their Twitter Anon names, and y'all want me to like remember your three or four different names? Like, I'm sorry. When you share a tweet, like, or when you share an image in the group chat, like, tell me what your Twitter handle is or whatever you want me to give you credit for. But that was somebody else, and half of what I do is just stealing ideas from all of the people that are listening right now. So, You could be doing it, but you're not. So sucks to suck.
I think I have close to 1,000 unread messages between all the different groups.
That's a testament, yeah. Man. Absolute That's testament.
Those are rookie numbers. Gotta pump those numbers up.
It's gonna take me like 4 days to get caught up.
Every once in a while, you just have to scroll all the way to the bottom and just realize you're just never
clear the cache.
Yeah, just start from scratch.
It's a good problem to have, though. Certainly not complaining.
You all heard it. Mike's complaining. Stop talking so much in the chat.
Bunch of nerds. Go get something else to do.
It's funny how like Friday night, like the chat really picks up and it's like, this is like, we're hanging out with the boys at night. Cause like we all have families and we're not like 20-year-olds hanging out at the bar. So Friday night, fucking chat group.
It's a Bitcoiner version of all the boys getting together to play Call of Duty.
I got to get up early and go to Home Depot, bitches. What are you pussies doing tomorrow?
Bill, if you haven't been informed already, we just kind of bullshit for this first 10, 15 minutes before we really kick it off. So if you're wondering, like, are they ever going to ask me anything? Or
it's never going to be an actual podcast. What am I doing?
So how long do I have to stay on with you idiots? Bill, where are you from, man?
Originally, Ohio, northeastern Ohio.
Okay. Youngstown area or Cleveland area?
Cleveland. Now, Youngstown, I have some family down in that area, so that is part of the stomping grounds that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. My wife's from that area, her mom and dad, and then all the way back, I guess, probably from when they immigrated over here from the Eastern Bloc countries and Italy as well. So, yeah. All right. You're a Ohio State fan?
You know, I'm not much into college football. I mean, don't hate me.
I hate you a lot less for not being a damn Ohio State fan. I'll tell you that. Those guys are murder sometimes.
Yeah. You just pissed off the whole Midwest chat group.
No, just Ohio State, man. They're a very small group, and I'm going to tell you right now, we just cleaned house with the rest of the Midwest. Like, the rest of the Midwest is like, hell yeah. Like, they're not Ohio State fans, and yeah.
This is true. This is very true. Especially in the Big Ten, everybody just hates Ohio State.
I think there's a lot more people than just the Big Ten. I mean, down here in the SEC, we think it's fairly pretentious to call yourselves the Ohio State whenever you talk about the Ohio State. And it's just, oh man, a bunch of
pretentious. Shane, where are you at right now?
I live in North Georgia. I'm from Michigan originally, so okay. There's a good tension there anyway. And my mother and father-in-law live in the house with us, and they are Ohio State fans. So, when Michigan absolutely flattened their season this past week, and I should say the weekend before, there was some cheering going on, and there were some sad faces, at the same time. So, take an undefeated Ohio State and then have a Michigan team that is allegedly cheated and all that kind of stuff, and still ruined it's like, I don't know. That's just sweet poetry is what that is. Oh man,
that's all right. At least all the Iowa fans out in the Midwest chat that can't like get enough of that, they can just, all right, pump it down. Like, let's talk about Bitcoin now. Save that for next year. Those are your people, Mike.
Yeah, well, Hawkeye fans like to just, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Hey, Bill, what's your Twitter handle? I'm going to tweet out here that we're live with you right now.
It's Bill at Stebbins JR.
That's not how Twitter handles work.
I know, yeah. Sir. I need to get something better. I need to get something like Bitcoin Diogenes or something. Spartacus or something colorful.
Some shit. Let's see.
Something half philosophical, half warrior. That's a good mix.
How's Iowa again, Mike?
It's actually not bad. I'm pretty surprised at how I'm enjoying being back home for a little bit.
Yeah, you considering making that migration again?
That, well, I mean, if the job market's like all of a sudden better up here, then I'm just gonna follow that. Yeah.
Right on.
I just put it in the chat there, Alex.
I got you, brother. Thank you.
You got AC on Twitter Spaces. What's up, man? AC is another vet from the Air Force. He came out to Bitblock Boom. We were standing around on the carpet looking around as we were setting up. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, just trying to see who's who in the zoo. And turns out, you know, got a brand new veteran standing right there beside me. And he's just started chatting it up. I think that was my first time being a SWAN employee at a conference. And really kind of great guy, really cool. I'm have to have AC on at some point. He retired, I think probably earlier in the year. So money's out there. He, man, money's always here. Thank you for showing up, money, and AC, and who's out there, Macro as well. Thank you guys for being here. Everybody in the chat on YouTube, what's happening, guys? We're gonna get this thing started. We got Bill Stebbins with us tonight, former Lieutenant Colonel, and this is gonna be, I think, a really enlightening and fun, I think, very energetic show from what I've seen of some of your speeches out there, and some great write ups on Bitcoin Magazine, and yeah, gonna be a pretty good show.
Shout out to
you, giving me out there anxiety now.
That's okay.
You're gonna do fine.
Yeah, I mean, to achieve the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, I think
it just means that I was able to smoke up a mirror with my exhalations. That's all that means.
Well, I mean, but you also quit right at the right time, right? Like, Lieutenant Colonel, and you know, anything past Lieutenant Colonel, it starts getting pretty political and all that crap. So it's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, some things we could talk about. I got selected for a battalion level command. I turned it down. And I knew when that was the case, there'd be no more promotions from that point on. It was with prejudice. So,
yeah,
you know, I knew what I was doing when I pulled that pin.
How long were you in when you got?
23 years.
All right.
Yeah.
And that's like huge. I mean, so many officers that do 20, like, the entire goal is to get battalion level command. Like, I've heard multiple battalion commanders say like their best jobs were like platoon leader and battalion commander. And it's kind of the hallmark of, you know, a successful career. Not obviously you were selected, so not to say that you weren't successful, but to then have the fortitude and be principled enough to turn it down because you didn't agree with what was going on. Like, we need more of that. And we need to kind of praise when we do see, you're never going to hear about it. Like, this is a very rare opportunity. That's a huge deal.
Well, Jordan, I mean, you're exactly right. It was, a very difficult decision, but it was at the point where I was at that crossroads. And if I continue on, essentially I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and I have to comply.
Yeah.
This is just how I'm thinking through. And what I saw in my assessment at the time, I said, you know what, this is not what I joined for. This is not what I decided to serve for. And as attractive as command would be, and I loved it so much, I love leading folks, yet could I really consistently live with myself if I went ahead and said, you know what, I'll put these things to the side so I can pursue me. And you know what? That to me just seemed very arrogant and conceited were I to do that. I don't make any judgments on anyone else that decide to serve. 100% not. Everyone has to make their own decision. For me, I said, I got to pull the plug.
Don't worry. There's enough reserved comment here. I think everybody out here in the comment section and everybody else will gladly weigh in on that. But without further ado, let's kick it. We'll be right back. That's right. You're just in time for the best intro in YouTube. Welcome to Bitcoin Veterans. I'm Shane Hazel. I'm joined by all my hosts here, Jordan, Mike Hobart, Alex Stanzik. We are minus one Gabe Lord tonight. And we have a great guest, which I will get to in a second. This is Bitcoin Veterans. Very self-explanatory. We're Bitcoiners. We're veterans. We don't shitcoin. We are in it for the mission and the passion that has been in all of us since we were born. That's in our DNA that we ran off and signed that dotted line up into our lives to serve our fellow man. Taking that nihilism, ripping it out of you, and throwing that passion and that mission back in with Bitcoin. We do this every Wednesday night. So tell your friends, tell your family. This is where they can find Bitcoin Veterans if they're interested and maybe learn something, maybe meet some cool guys and start to understand what this Bitcoin Veterans group is doing. It is a fast growing group. It's we've branched off into regions. We've got a civilian division going now. We're doing so many things that I can hardly keep up with it. And then to everybody out there that's making this happen, everybody in the chats, in on YouTube, on Twitter Spaces, thank you guys for everything you're doing, all the work you're putting in. This thing is absolutely thriving right now, and so much so, we are in our 23rd show. Tonight we have the amazing Bill Stebbins. He's 23 years U.S. Army Cavalry. If you couldn't tell by the hat, he wasn't riding a horse. He's an armor guy, and he's got experience in counterinsurgency, combined arms warfare, operational strategic planning, and it gives him a unique perspective on Bitcoin. His experience in Iraq led him to become a staunch anti-war advocate with 30 years of leadership experience. He coaches, writes, and he facilitates leadership workshops. His most recent obsession, obviously, Bitcoin. I think like many of us out there, and he writes about it prolifically. He's been featured in Bitcoin Magazine a number of times. He's got a number of YouTube videos out there, including just recently where our own Gabe Lord got to hang out with him in help me with the name real quick, or else I'm going to forget
it. Adopting Bitcoin
conference. And man, we are thrilled to have you here, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. The thrill is all mine. Absolutely.
We got all the guys out there in the audience throwing them up. Go ahead and throw it up. Hey, Bill, you know, 23 years Cav, man, that is that's a long time. When you signed up, you know, and you said, you know, I want to go do this thing in the military. First of all, what year was it? And did you pick out armor?
So I'm a year group 93, so pretty ancient, and like probably a lot of you, I had no military in my family history, no background there, kind of wandering around Kent State University aimless. I had a lot of energy. I wanted to do something, but I couldn't find anything that intrigued me. Thank you, Saddam Hussein. He clarified things for me. And as I was at Kent State, again, I won't bore everyone with all the details of my career because folks don't, I mean, that's the most boring thing in the world to talk through that. But long story short, it got me into the Army and I realized I want to serve my nation and I want to do it to defend the nation because I lived worldwide as a young man with my father. He worked for a tire company. I lived in India, Mexico City as a young man. Came to really appreciate the United States. Said, you know what? I want to lead. I want to serve this nation and defend this nation. And so I started my whole military journey with that in mind. How naive was I? I think a lot of us probably feel that way going into it. And I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater because I realize I probably need to tweak my bio a little bit. I'm not an anti-war activist. I shouldn't really say that. I'm probably more precisely anti-imperialism. I mean, I just throw that out there. Don't hate me, you know, but bottom line, anti-imperialism. I think that defending the nation is something you can do and still be respectful of other nations too, and not sticking your damn nose in everyone's business and throwing yourself around with a this obligation to police the world. I think that's garbage. I think that's bull crap. That's just me. And so, but you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I went to a state school, right? It took me several years and having to really challenge everything that I believed to objectively look at from two peacekeeping deployments back in the day, Bosnia, Macedonia, and then Iraq twice, to find out what are we actually doing, and is this actually making our nation, our home front, safer, or is it manufacturing more people that absolutely hate us?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the assessment I came to. I decided that this was not defending the nation. And, you know, and it was a painful process. I had to go through all the stages of grief. Because at first, when you start coming to this realization, I mean, I start feeling like a traitor, like some kind of bastard that has been unfaithful to the nation. I'm like, how can this be? Because I love this nation. I want to defend it. I'll go to war for it. No problem. But this is not serving the purpose that I thought that it did. And it's not that, oh, I'm not sophisticated. I'm just not nuanced enough to get the higher level, strategic level dynamics for how you have to defend in a global world. That's bull crap. And this whole idea, I don't mean to throw Lloyd Austin under the bus, but, you know, he's throwing himself under the bus. You know, he just recently said that the real threat are isolationists, non-interventionists. You know what? Kiss my butt. All right, just kiss my ass, because I'll tell you what, you can use this word isolationism as a red herring to try to cover up the fact that, you know what, don't put your mind in neutral. Think these things through. This is interferism is what this thing is. Isolationism, there is a way to protect this nation without being involved everywhere around the world. And I said, okay, well, this is not me. This doesn't make sense. So I realized I'm going to have to part company. And so you work through the stages of grief and you finally realize, you know, it's not like I departed. It's not like I lost faith and departed from my patriotic duty, my oath of office. What I find is the nation and the military at large, they've departed from the Constitution. They've departed from the ideals of the Republic. Well, I apologize for that torrent of carbon dioxide. Right now.
That was awful.
It sounded like it needed to get out, man.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's funny how many like anti-war people, like before this generation, it was all like the Vietnam era anti-war guys. And they were just seen as like a bunch of hippies, which like maybe they were, but it was like, that was the alternative, because people felt like, well, if I feel this way, I must be on this side.
Yeah.
And how much that has changed now. And to be anti-war is like, and I think most of America kind of understands and accepts this now, is like, yeah, we're speaking out against these things because they are bad. They're not in our interest. And it doesn't mean I'm not a patriot. In fact, if anything, I'm more of a patriot.
Exactly. You know, Samuel Johnson, 1774, he said that patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. And what he meant by that is, and it was so powerful to read that. It's like, you know what? You got to be real careful with this word patriotism, because this word is hijacked frequently and you'll see other variations of this. You're either for the terrorists, you're either with us, or you're with the terrorists. Well, that's real conveniently binary.
Yeah.
And on Bitcoin Veterans, we're definitely non-binary.
Wait, what?
Just trying to lighten the mood a little, guys.
Very fluid.
Now, I think a lot of guys go through exactly what you've gone through, Bill. And if you're still going through that, you know, maybe this group is exactly what you need. I think at some point or another, most of these guys have swallowed a really terrible, hairy ass big pill. It was tough, you know, and I think, you know, when you see it and you go through it and you're kind of searching for a place, a home, a bedrock, you know, and I know that's what I went through, is I was like, man, what if this isn't true, then what the hell is? You know, this is a great place for guys that are going through that, may have gone through it, are still going through it, to find a community that's been there. They've done it. They've seen the other side of this and can help other guys get to that other side.
Yeah, that's what I've seen of this group. This is what it is, a really powerful force. And I think it's no mistake or coincidence that the whole Bitcoin ethos really gravitates to and pulls in folks like yourselves, like all of us, who actually wanted to serve and really resonate with ideas of liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of, the initial wording was the pursuit of property.
That's right.
And so that is not tangential. That is at the core of what it means to be free, that you work hard and you can actually possess something, not because you're a crook, not because you leverage special networks of folks when you're in office so that now you get out and you have insider. No, this is called honest work, and you have property and you have a right to that property. So Bitcoin speaks to that so much more than just at first blush. You know, you see cryptocurrency talked about in certain ways on the Hill. Bitcoin is much more than just a monetary financial thing.
Yeah. Oh my. It appeals to honest men. It attracts honest men. Like the fiat system as it is today incentivizes, attracts, and rewards dishonesty. Whereas Bitcoin, I've noticed that a lot of people that get around it are like, wow, finally a system that's going to recognize the work that I do. It's not going to reward some jerk off because he's got certain connections close to the money printer or some other situation. And the second thing that is super interesting to me is this is the reason why it's mind-blowing to me how much Bitcoin Veterans has blown up from where it started, and it's taken a life of its own that has nothing to do with the guys who started it. It's all these guys who've gotten in there, guys like everybody who's just like crushed it and driven it forward. But it appeals to the guys who have a warrior spirit. And, you know, guys who have that spirit, it's so obvious.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think that was a surprising thing that I didn't realize, or didn't realize that would be even a thing when I started deep diving into Bitcoin and learning more about it. But it makes such logical sense. Alex, I think you're exactly right.
Bill, I wanted to say that I actually, like, nothing to in relation to Bitcoin, actually, this comment, but I wanted to say that I appreciate that you mentioned the kind of like the legitimate grieving process that was involved with like the information that you got. Cause I don't think people outside the military understand like what happens when you realize what exactly you've been contributing to for X number of years. It's like people don't like, I think it's hard to conceptualize just playing a cog in the machine, like how you enabled a lot of activity and like there's no measure of the impact that you might have had on like X number of lives like elsewhere in the world. It's just like need to give a lot of these veterans, and particularly like you also kind of the other aspect of the grieving process too is realizing that any difficulty you gave to veterans that were that kind of like hippie anti-war activists that you might have labeled, it's like, god damn, I did that too. Like I don't think enough people realize just like how rough it is to realize as a veteran that your service probably was not necessarily used for the good that you were sold on.
I mean, Mike, you're hitting on such important issues and my mind's just racing. I mean, to the first point, so many folks listening right now, you know what it's like and you know what you've given up when you are serving your nation and then you're faced with a year-long deployment, half a world away. You're raising, in my case, young ladies, three daughters that I love to death. I've got a wife. I'm leaving them for a year and I don't know if I'll be back. And then you're going to fast forward the tape and tell me I'm a traitor? It doesn't sit well with me. But you have to really know what you're all about in order to walk away from that.
Yeah.
Because you've put so much of your soul into being a sheepdog and wanting to put yourself in harm's way for your people here, for your nation, only to feel like, did it change or did I change? What's going on here? And you really have to be grounded with it. And I think that this group here really can help to connect with folks who may still be struggling with that sense of infidelity, like that national infidelity that they may feel.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it too. I didn't really think about it that way.
But, well, you know, this window, what this reminds me of is that we had Kevin Rash on the show the other day. Prior to having him on, I was talking to him in private, and he was like, you know, there's a lot of guys when you start talking to them about Bitcoin, these are active duty guys. These are, they're in the special operations community. I'll just leave it at that. And he was saying that some of them immediately have a feeling like, well, is this anti-American if I'm embracing this thing that's other than the United States dollar? And it was pretty important to me that it was pointed out that, look, man, we swore an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. We did not swear an oath to the Federal Reserve. Yeah. We didn't swear an oath to the United States dollar, which, by the way, does not meet the definition of a dollar from the constitutional standard as it started in the first place. What it's become today is basically a bunch of broken promises. Full stop. And you have no obligation to defend a bunch of broken promises.
I think you're actually obligated by duty. If you're sworn per Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution to uphold the Constitution, you know, you're oath bound to not only defend it, you're oath bound to fight tooth and nail now to make it right. And I think, you know, that's what's amazing about this group is you know, to have Bill here and giving testimony to say, you know, this is not an easy process. This is one of those things where I think, you know, deep down you search for, you know, real understanding in your own life as a man after you've done some things maybe that you maybe wish you could take back, and to come to grips with that and then emerge. That's something that I think this group is uniquely positioned for, where you have to give up what the world thinks of you at that point. Some of your closest friends, your peers, guys you've gone through the blood, sweat, and tears with. Some of those guys are not going to see eye to eye with you when you adopt, you know, these understandings, these principles that fly in the face of, you know, God knows, you know, decades of probably indoctrination and tribalism. So, you know, kudos to you and hats off to say, you know, thanks for, you know, laying it down, especially at, you know, 23 years is like unbelievable.
Well, you know, I taught at the Command and General Staff College for a total of 6 years, 2 years active duty, then 4 years as a DA civilian. And just what incredible officers I got to teach. Major, most of them were at the major level. Fabulous folks. But throughout those 6 years, I got to a point, it may have been my second year, maybe the third year, I don't recall, where when I had the group of 16 officers, I'd have them for 10 months. And one of the first things that I would ask them is I'd throw up a picture on the screen of Nazis goose stepping. And I would say, okay, you've got 10 minutes. Pull out a sheet of paper. Tell me what separates you from them. Go. 10 minutes later, okay, let's go around the room. What are your answers? These are mid-grade officers at the Command and General Staff College. Do you know how many good answers I got? because again, to Mike's comments earlier, Bitcoin exposes and the Bitcoin ethos caused you to really think deep about certain things. And I think many of us who have thought about these things much earlier are drawn then to Bitcoin when we see this. And the issue with that is, especially for veterans here, it is so easy to get sucked into the tractor beam of serving in the military and not being able to pull out. It's like a black hole. You go too deep and the gravity pulls you in and you cannot get out and you'll lose yourself. Because the thing, you know, look, the Nazis, they had great uniforms. They had great morale. They had great esprit de corps. They were hardcore.
Yeah.
All of the things that when I taught at CGFC, that our army, our military, our forces great kit, great uniforms, great morale, all of these things. So that can't be the thing that separates us from evil militaries of the past. It has to be something more. And if we can't individually say, this is what's different, then you've already lost. You've already lost.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because from the very beginning in the military, when we start our training, we start to create this feeling of unity in boot camp. And then, you know, the drill instructor is the enemy. And then you unify the unit against the enemy. You have a common enemy. And throughout your entire experience in the military, there's always the good guys and the bad guys. But the issue with that is exactly how are you defeating these bad guys? And it's a very bizarre experience to find out later that maybe we were the baddies some of those times. Maybe some of the stuff that our government's doing is the baddies. Maybe this system is set up in a way where maybe the bad guys aren't overseas. Maybe it's more like we need to fix the system that we're in. I'm not naming anybody as baddies in our government. I'm simply saying that this system is broken, man. And thinking that we're gonna fight some enemy overseas and fix it is like it's pretty far from the mark right now.
Well, you become aware of the drawbacks of being used as a weapon or a tool of war, right? You realize that you can kind of, like, to your point, Alex, you realize you can be used from the negative side, not just the positive side. And it can, like, to your point again, is like you can realize that you weren't on the maybe on the positive side the entire time. Like, just,
And even then, what I'd like to just reach out to anyone that's listening here that may have some really bad memories and some guilt they may be having is you know what? You can still be in a bad system and you didn't sign up for that bad system overall, but you can still have done good within it.
Yeah.
The key is when you realize the game, when you realize the larger issues, that's the time to take action. You can't be faulted sometimes for being deceived and being sucked into something much greater than you, and you didn't see the entire complexity of it. You didn't see the macro level at first. What's important is when you finally figure it out, do you push it aside and say, I'm just not going to deal with it because it's easier to stay in? Well, that can be unforgivable. That can be something that causes you damage as the years progress, that harms you and your family.
Yeah.
I think that even in the militaries of the past, Imperial Japan, Nazi Germany, I'm sure not every soldier that marched with them were evil in their core or had given over to evil. I think there were folks and they were realizing, what the hell is my country doing? And they despised it and they hated it. Well, the same with us. Many of you found yourself caught up in very much an imperial military. And then you had to make a decision, though, when that dawns on you and you really see the objective reality of it.
Man, the beginning of these shows hits, really hits you right in the chest with a lot of what is being said. And I think you kind of came out of the gates tonight, Bill, with that energy. And I think it has to be talked about. I think to see what Bitcoin Veterans is becoming. And I think, you know, seeing, you know, this state where we've come in, I don't know, 6-7 months now, and to imagine what it's going to become. You know, this is a call to action. This is one of those things where when we look at prior generations, whether it's the American Legion or the VFW or any of these other groups that came before us that put together veterans type of organizations and kind of rallied guys after they were out, you know, I don't hear anything out of those organizations about being anti-imperialism. Very, very poetic that you would say something like that tonight, Bill. And now that we have the ability to broadcast live across the interwebs now with you know, the potential to reach literally millions and millions of people, to be able to sit here now and to say, this is what we should be doing. We're not going to sit here and hold out our hand to the government. We're not going to bend our knees. We're not going to say, hey, next generation, it's okay to go and do these kind of things. We're here to obviously plant a flag in the soil, draw lines in the sand, and now call to action. Hey, listen, if you've got people out there that are interested in going in, you got guys that are already in, you got guys that are transitioning out or already out. We are here for that. We are here to help the correct course, because it is such a broken system that is in, that has such malincentive baked into it, because the money is what it is. Like, this is the amazing moment in the human species to start correcting course. And this isn't just for Americans, obviously. This is for vets around the world, people who are close to them, their families, their friends, and the rest of them. Get out there, inform people, have them understand exactly what this group of guys is doing, guys and gals, I should say, and the rest of it that's going on. We've got a lot of challenges ahead. And Bill, you write about a lot of things out there, but one of the things that I think you have such, you know, good instincts for, because of the knowledge and experience that you've gained in this world. You wrote a piece from cyberspace to outer space on Bitcoin Magazine. And you talk about a lot of the challenges that we're up against. You talk about the environmental propaganda. You talk about how, you know, they're going to, you know, basically try to divide and conquer through the propaganda campaign, the bureaucratic regulation, monetary insurgency. When we look at kind of what's happening right now in the current picture, how do you see that coming into fruition? And do you see some of the wins that we're taking against the establishment?
I see wins. I see wins every day. I think this is a wonderful thing. I think tapping into the military planning aspect of my experience, this is one of the things that I think that I can contribute to the fight. And I love so much, Shane, that you brought up the mission, because all of us here, we have this innate sense of mission and we've put it on the line, and it doesn't end when we hang up the uniform. It doesn't end if nothing else. It amplifies even more because this oath we took to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Throughout my 23 years, I asked repeatedly, out of a science fair experiment for myself, and asking my commanders, and just see, what's a domestic enemy? What would be a domestic enemy of the Constitution? It's very important that that's in there, and to realize that and to think about that deeply. So as we're looking at now the whole panorama that you brought up, as I look at it, there are wins. But I think that when you come to Bitcoin, the average person, you come to Bitcoin, I was this way at first, but I have this streak of cynicism in me because it's just baked into me as a planner. Is I think that we have goggles, rose-colored goggles on. And it's like, and you'll sometimes hear that quip, Bitcoin fixes this. And my inner voice says, hell no, it doesn't fix this at all. It doesn't fix it. It can help. It can help. But Bitcoin by itself cannot fix it any more than the Constitution can fix this. The Constitution is a great tool. But, you know, you could argue that the Constitution has been hard forked. You know, the Constitution, like Bitcoin code, allows for forking. It allows for deviations. It requires organic people, you and I, to shepherd it and not control it, but to shepherd it and to help protect it and preserve it against what? And this speaks to now the issues of authorial intent, or is the Constitution what we say it is today? I'm an authorial intent kind of guy. Again, you want some other system? Then create your own law. Don't call it the Constitution. Call it the Karl Marx Manifesto or whatever you want to call it, but don't call it the Constitution, because the Constitution was written by folks that had a certain idea in mind and a certain concept. And when you depart from the spirit of, in which it was written, now you are mutating it into something else entirely. Same thing with Bitcoin. If you fork this thing away from the spirit of Nakamoto, well, it's really not Bitcoin doing what Bitcoin was conceived of or designed to do. So with that said, and a long way around this tree, Shane, I'm sorry for that, is that I think that we have a danger of underestimating the enemy. I think that there will be no peaceful coexistence between the state or the empire with the world's reserve currency and Bitcoin. I think that the machine derives its energy and power from fiat. Why would it bow the knee or even share the space with a contender, share the space with something that could resonate with the public, the taxpaying public, resonate with them so wildly and decrement its power? It's not logical to me at all. So therefore, I think that if we are not actively, proactively counter-innovating to protect Bitcoin, we're going to lose this fight. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I don't think incentives win, because you have to fight to make sure those incentives exist for folks to take advantage of it. You could say that, well, incentives always win. The constitutional incentives, what kind of person would not want the wonderful gifts that the Bill of Rights guarantees them? But look what's happening now. How come incentives aren't happening now? Because you have to, every generation, have men and women who will stand up and say, no, that's baloney, and we will not go that way. You have to have it. Mm-hmm. And when your spine starts decalcifying, it's over.
That is, I love the thorough answers. And, you know, you bring up the Constitution. One of the things that I have really put a labor of love into, there's a great guy out there, Lysander Spooner. If you haven't read Lysander Spooner, he's an amazing guy, but there's a great quote out there. But whether the Constitution really be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it has either authorized such a government as we have had or has been powerless to prevent it. And I think that is when you juxtapose the Constitution to Bitcoin, in terms of incentive structure, you talked about soft forks and hard forks, and really, you know, obviously the Constitution has been so hard forked. We left the constitutional republic, you know, some will argue in the early 1800s, right, when George Marshall and the rest of those guys stood up a bench and said, hey, listen, we have judicial review. And now that we have judicial review, now we can start making decisions outside of an individual case and for the entire country. The beautiful thing I think that people need to realize about Bitcoin, if you're new to Bitcoin, is Bitcoin is a constitution. And the thing is if you want to play it in Bitcoin, you have to abide by the constitution, because Bitcoin doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care about the power that you have. It doesn't care about any of those things. And I think you make a really good point, is we have an evolving battlefield all the time. And there are people on the other side of that battlefield that want 51% hash power. There are people that want to do anything they can to make people fearful of holding it. They want to obfuscate what Bitcoin is in the first place by, you know, issuing altcoins or shitcoins or the rest of those kind of things, with just adding noise to the atmosphere. And the beautiful thing is, and to your point, is you're saying, I see wins every day. Well, those wins are because people are out there working their ass off day and night, grinding right now, passionately on this mission. And then that is exactly what it's going to take. It's going to take these numbers swelling, and it's going to take more and more guys planting that flag in the sand saying, this is it. This is our incentive structure. This is our constitution. And damn it, you lizards up there on Capitol Hill and the bureaucracies and the banks and everybody else, you can't stop us if we put our will into this and we use the resources that we have.
Amen, brother. Absolutely.
I think in a sense, you said, you know, you don't think incentives work, but I would almost argue that they do, in the fact that there's incentives, but there's not always the tools to fight back. And I would have liked to do a deep dive in this, but I would imagine that most revolutions have started because there was this pent up need for something, for some tool that would facilitate what the incentives of the culture were. And we, culture just, or society just reaches a point to where it has to find the tool to fight back. And so the incentives lead to finding the tool, and the tool leads to the capability to fight back. It's just a longer process, I think, than we would like, but that's why, like you said, it's like every generation or two, you've got to stand up and say, you use the word, you pronounced it baloney, but I think the word is no, that's bullshit. I don't know. Maybe you're like with the hat, you kind of look like maybe you're just fancier or something and you pronounce it baloney.
Bravo Sierra. Yeah.
I think it's also important, like understanding the incentives for getting beyond the kind of nihilistic stage that Bill was talking about too. Like when people have that whole dawning or the realization of what's going on, it's like, well, how do you fight something like this? It's like, just chase down the incentives, and then you can start to understand that it all boils up from the money, and start to understand how to fix the money, and that fixes, at least in no small part, Bitcoin.
But see, this is the key. This is the reason why this whole thing is turning into a thing. I can remember getting out of the military and looking at the organizations like VFW, and nothing wrong with these organizations. I'm not throwing them under the bus or shit talking them at all. I just was compelled to join them because I saw, you know, guys that are hanging around, you know, they're drinking, they're playing bingo, they're reminiscing about the past, but they're not in the fight because they, in my mind, they were done. They had put the arms down. They were finished. They're not in the fight. Well, Bitcoin is a tool where guys can get back in the fight. Now, this is a peaceful fight, but it's a tool that enables us to rise to the challenge. Finally, for the first time in the history of mankind, we have a way of conducting economic activity in an honest fashion that can't be corrupted. Well, I say can't be corrupted. It's mostly corruption proof, right? But this is where I'm really glad to have Bill a part of this, because Bill has an adversarial mindset. He thinks of things and, okay, these are all the things that can go wrong. And you guys need to stop being so rosy glasses about it. And let's talk about this stuff. So Bill, if you don't mind, let's dig in on some of those potential attack vectors versus Bitcoin and what Bitcoin has the potential to do.
Absolutely. So I think I'll take you back to 480 BC. I'm going to take you back to Thermopylae and the Spartans taking on the Persians. And, you know, you have the Persian Empire, the mass of the Persian army marching on Sparta. But Sparta realized, and Leonidas realized, I'm taking on Xerxes. Well, guess what? If I try to take on the whole doggone Persian military, I will get crushed. I don't have the numbers. But I don't have to do that. I need to take them on at the choke point. In his case, it was a geographic choke point. And so he had, in, you know, historically, was it only 300? Was it more than 300? Who cares? It was far less, exponentially less than the enormous Persian army. But he had them at a choke point. It's kind of like a bar fight. You got a big gang outside in the parking lot. Great. Get inside the bar, fight them in the doorway as they try to get in. Then you fight one guy at a time. Now, hopefully your kung fu is strong. Okay, good. Then you got them. Okay.
And your stamina.
Stamina as well. Yeah. Yeah. Keep doing those gassers or whatever those things are called, those hideous things where you keep jumping up. I hated those. But how does that apply to the state? See, what I do is I like to template a wise enemy, even if they don't deserve to be thus templated. I always template a wise enemy. And, you know, there are brilliant folks in the federal government, brilliant folks. They have a couple of terminal flaws. They're part of a colossus that's lumbering and slow. That's one problem. Number two, many of them are blinded by conceit and arrogance. That will slow you down and screw you up as well. However, they realize they're coming to a realization now that they can't kill Bitcoin existentially. Bitcoin exists the honey badger exists and it didn't ask permission and you cannot kill it. That's great. But I think what the government's realizing and the states are realizing is don't need to kill it. If I can isolate Bitcoin in cyberspace such that it can't be used, then it ceases to be relevant. And therefore, you've defeated the enemy without having to destroy the enemy, which is the acme of skill. And so these are the attacks that we're seeing now. I just saw another note or another message on the news where I think it was Chase Bank that just came out and has a new change of policy. If we detect you're sending any money to a crypto exchange, that payment will be declined. Really? This is my money. You're going to decline my money? You know, that just it makes the latent temperature of the blood in my veins start to bubble. I mean, this is not right. And, you know, I'm speaking to the choir, but these are the choke points. It's not a geographic choke point like in the days of Sparta and the Persians, but these are functional choke points. And so the onboarding and offboarding, the fiat reentry rails, if they can interdict those, and there are a litany of such rails or such choke points that the government could quickly sever off. And then where are we at? And if they really came to this awareness very quickly, we'd have a fight in our hands. Because, you know, you say, well, move to a geographic sanctuary, move to El Salvador. You know, I'm thinking 99.5% of everyone that hears us in the United States will not be inclined or have the ability to move overseas. They just won't. And this is our home. Why would you want to yield your home? This is our nation. And so I'll pause there for a minute.
At what point do we become the monetary insurgents here in America?
We're already monetary insurgents. See, we have to realize that already. It doesn't matter whether we conceive of ourselves as that. It matters what your adversary thinks. And we are already being perceived as monetary insurgents. I think one incredible strategic line of operation would be, and there could be many folks within the viewing audience and other folks in the Bitcoin community, if you orange pill Washington, orange pill the leaders, they will then have their own internal incentive to not pursue policies that shut down Bitcoin. This is a very important line of effort. They already have a lot of the fiat lines of enriching themselves. But if they see that Bitcoin could even add to that exponentially, then perhaps they back off a little bit and provide internal friction amongst themselves to slow the boil.
I think a lot of what you get at, Bill, talking about like, incentive, when you said incentives don't necessarily fix this, it's because people need to stand up and do something. Our last guest, Gary, who's just like, he's awesome. He talks about the layer zero. Like, I want to help out with the layer zero. And what he's talking about is the human element of Bitcoin, the social aspect, because Bitcoin doesn't exist out just in the ether on its own without humans interacting with it. And I think that's a lot of what you're getting at, is that like, we need to get people to both look at it adversarially and create solutions for those vulnerabilities, but also just to be out there, you know, as an insurgent. It's crazy how like now the patriots have to be, a true patriot would be an insurgent if their government is going tyrannical.
Right.
Peacefully, hopefully we can accomplish this that way, which that's what kind of Bitcoin solves for, is we can be peaceful, digital, patriotic insurgents fighting back. And I think I'm going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. The whole community here is that we need to like this whole Bitcoin veterans thing. You're going to know when the enemy is really threatened by you, when they start trying to crack down or bash on veterans who are fighting for liberty. And that might be a shield that we can use for a little while But you'll know when things have really turned, when they want to try to turn against veterans who are just speaking about peace, the Constitution, patriotism. And hopefully that's enough of a signal to people in your communities to understand, like, oh, things are getting real bad if they're talking about these guys in that way, and that's who they're going after. And so I call on everyone in this community, all five of us here talking and everyone listening and everyone in the chats, to like go be a good example of a good upstanding citizen in your community. Let people know who you are, and also let them know that you're a Bitcoin veteran. You don't have to push, don't even push Bitcoin if they're not receptive to it. If they are, orange pill. But if they're not, just go out and be like, yeah, I'm kind of in this community of Bitcoin veterans, and we're trying to get veterans jobs, and we're trying to help guys with PTSD, and we're on all these initiatives, and we have all these missions that we're just trying to do good. Like, you don't even have to worry about the Bitcoin thing. Don't worry about it. But here's an organization that's just trying to do good in the community. So when they try to come after us, who's on our side? The people are on our side, but we need an army of dudes out there spreading the peaceful message, the peaceful insurgent patriotic message to everybody that will listen.
Absolutely. You know, George Washington, most of the founding fathers, but I remember reading George Washington did not want to part with the crown. He wanted to be an Englishman. He wanted to be a subject of the king. He was like, I've got no interest in breaking away from the crown. But the crown kept pushing. The White House kept pushing, kept pushing, kept pushing. At some point, I think we're seeing this with the state here. They keep pushing, they keep pushing, they keep pushing. To a point where this realization comes then that I just don't know that coexistence is really going to work in an amicable way if things continue along this vector.
Yeah. And when you push people to a point, that's one thing. But the other, there's two sides of that equation. You can push people as long, and if there's recourse, the people can fight against it. But once you take away the recourse, now you're starting to get people in a corner. And it's gotten to the point today where there are many folks who they do things so brazenly that it's quite obvious that they don't fear recourse. Like they're not concerned that there's going to be any repercussions for what they're doing. So it's definitely the hour is late. I mean, I'm not doom and gloom about it, but the hour is late and the signs are all over the place. So I'm and on the contrary, I'm not doomy and gloomy at all. If you would have talked to me 3-4 years ago, there was a different version of Alex. I was pretty nihilistic. And, you know, if you had asked me, I was not the guy you want to talk to at the party because you would go away depressed. I'd be like, we're fucked. The human race is fucked. However, now with Bitcoin, I do see hope. All right. So, Bill, you know, when you were down in El Salvador, that speech that you did, you were talking about contingency work groups. I think that dovetails in very strongly with what we're doing at Bitcoin Veterans. This thing is growing at a massive pace. We're adding tons of guys every single day, and I don't see it slowing. It's only accelerating. Talk to us a little bit about this concept of contingency work groups and how can we integrate Bitcoin Veterans and the mission and what we're doing here.
As a planner, so I went to school in the Army. They sent me to a special school, whatever, for a year. Got a master's, taught me all different types of planning. Folks in the Army might recognize the school is called SAMS, School of Advanced Military Studies, whatever. And that school, once you graduate it, then what you do is you go and you serve a general officer and you work on wicked problems for the general officer. Well, I was blessed with being able to go to my first tour in Iraq during the surge in Iraq and work for Lieutenant General Odierno. And so he was in Baghdad there in charge of MNCI, Multinational Corps Iraq. And one of the tasks I had was to bring together planning teams together, folks that outranked me, all kinds of folks, and facilitate planning, facilitate innovation of tactical concepts, campaign, etc. And I just saw the beauty and the incredible power when you bring so many minds together, divergent minds, incredible folks, and you bring up problem areas and you see these brains all go to work on this and come up with incredible ideas. Shane will come up with an idea that will spark something with Jordan that Mike then hears it and has a third thought that never would have come up unless those two talked. And I think that as a community, what I can do, what I would have a passion to do, would be to stand up Tiger teams where it could be during conferences. As part of a conference, there's a breakaway session with folks that have all manner of skills, multidisciplinary. And we work towards putting a hierarchy and establishing a hierarchy of imminent threats and imminent threats, but also then most dangerous threats. And then facilitating that kind of group thinking and innovation. And you go out into many, it's like speed dating. You know, you've heard of speed dating before when you get together with a group to kind of learn people in the room. All right, it's been 5 minutes. Everyone get together and now go date someone else. But it's kind of like speed dating, but it's innovating. And you come together and you keep thinking in different breakout groups. And then you come together in the general group and the quality of new ideas you have is sublime. It's incredible. And if we would do this throughout the year in many different venues and in many different ways to spur the thinking and kind of be a catalyst to kickstart the thinking for folks who are very technologically enabled and are coding wizards, you know, we have Nakamoto developing Bitcoin's existential permissionless. You cannot screw with the fact that Bitcoin exists. We need a similar permissionless layer of security around Bitcoin now that's so profound and so powerful that it can't be hacked, that it can't be attacked. It's like armor around Bitcoin's existence so that Bitcoin can continue to be used in its many functions. And that will only happen, I believe, with some kind of organizing, pulling together minds to work through the threats that we see in the threat vectors.
Yeah. And so we need to talk to not just Bitcoin veterans. We're going to have to pull in people from other parts of the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Absolutely.
We're going to need people who are basically, we need people who are respected and listened to in the community. We're going to need people who are running companies. We're going to need the shadowy supercoders. We're going to need the guys who are doing the heavy lifting on the tech side of things. Yes. That makes this resilient.
Absolutely. And if you think of all the different layers of that armor, it's not just a one trick pony. You've got peer-to-peer kind of applications. You've got fiat reentry rails, that aspect of it. You have merchant functionalities. You have personal and family security. I mean, think about this for a minute. What happens when Bitcoin pops to, and I just make it absurd for a moment, but if it pops to $1 million per Bitcoin, and now it's become known, you know, folks know in very technologically savvy criminals go and scour the net and see, gosh, Mike Hobart, he has quite a presence here in the Bitcoin space. Very likely he's got 5, 6, 10 coin. But let's attack him. Let's figure it out and get his keys. And so he had a boating accident.
This is true. Both are true.
And the little bit of Bitcoin he has is in a multi-sig account, which is, I mean, what are you going to do? You're never going to get that shit.
Rent attacks don't work. Bone up on your bone sig.
But you have personal security issues we need to start looking at right now and think beyond the horizon to protect ourselves now before that becomes a thing and we're behind the eight ball. You know, event security, social media security, all manner of things with that.
Yeah, it's already underway. Like a lot of these initiatives are already happening. I do love this idea of contingency work groups we have so much to do to prep for Nashville coming up here next year. We're going to do some kind of gathering, get together, dinner, something or other for all the Bitcoin veterans. We'll do a general address to the entire crew, anybody who can make it out there. We're going to do a fundraiser dinner for Bitcoin veterans. We're going to do a range day. We're going to do a community outreach. We're also apparently going to do contingency work groups. So this is something that we're going to make happen. Bill, we'll work with you. We're going to get this thing rolling. We'll connect you with whoever we need to in the industry. Let's make this a thing.
I'm so amped up. My Stetson is melting on my skull.
And now comes the fun part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Like, I don't know, unless you guys have more questions.
I can segue into something fun real quick.
Yeah, if you have something up there, if not, I'm going to grab a question, a fantastic question from one of the audience members out there, Jethro, pronounced Jethro here in the United States. if you guys don't know Jethro, man, Jethro is he's
awesome.
He's a force majeure, man. He is just one of those guys. Well, I'm pretty sure you probably met Jethro down at in El Salvador at adopting Bitcoin. But this guy, I'm going to tell you right now, he's won a special place in my heart. He's got such amazing outpouring on Twitter and the rest of it, and he is hardcore Bitcoin. He understands liberty probably better than a lot of people. He's very well read. And he wants to know, would you support Texas, Florida, or New Hampshire declaring independence and becoming the next El Salvador? Because we'll probably see that sooner than we see DC itself switch to sound money. What do you think about that kind of stuff?
Texas.
You know, one of the things that has really struck me just looking at the political landscape throughout the nation is I wonder why we haven't had, well, I think I probably know why, but one of the ways of beating down federal overreach would be if these governors would stand up and say, damn it, it's about the states here. It's not about federal government. You're supposed to be small. You're supposed to be limited. The power's in the states. And having some of these governors have some backbone and pushing back and saying, you know, Abbott down in Texas or whatever, saying, hey, stop it. On the border, done. You know, we're not doing this anymore. And if you want to go to the mat, let's go into the octagon because we're ready.
God, I love that answer. I mean, seriously, short, sweet, succinct, like, hey, bitches, we're here. You know, like that. Oh, man, this is the return of the masculinity and the American spirit that I have been just absolutely waiting on bated breath for God's sakes. Like, this is the moment in history where men stop being shamed. They stop, you know, worrying about this toxic masculinity bullshit. They stand up. They have that testicular fortitude to say, listen, there are some things in this life that are worth dying for. We want peace. We want to live our lives, but damn it, you rent seekers, you're done. You are done taking from us. You are done taking from our families. You are done taking from our people. Because when you look around and you understand exactly what's going on in terms of, you know, taxation is one of those things, like in the past, you know, a few years, I guess you could really tally it up and say, we are spending more on taxes than we are on food for our families, shelter for our families, clothing for our families, and everything else. And the fact that, you know, we've got men that are here now standing up because of Bitcoin and this constitution that is printed in bedrock, that has a positive incentive structure, that is absolutely taking the veterans and the rest of these communities that are harboring around this and pushing it towards something closer to freedom, closer to having skin in the game, closer to this return of masculinity that's good, that is, it is family, it is community, it is father, you know, the entire gambit of it. God, man, I get so damn amped up in these shows, guys. I mean, it gets me through anything and everything I need to do the rest of the week. And man, Bill, what an awesome statement.
Hey, the thing that fires me up is, you know, I have to get away from social media because social media is not reality. you know, and you're talking about the traditional masculinity, men are men, women are women, and that's a good thing. You know, I walk up and down the neighbors here where I live. There's hardcore, solid people here. It's not what's amplified in social media, quite frankly. This nation is full of folks, but they need leaders. They need leaders. Could you imagine if a governor did that? If a governor said, hey, Biden, no more. It's done. It ends. And if you don't like that, let's go. Let's go. Do you know, I mean, I might even be selling the house tomorrow and moving to Texas or moving to wherever that governor was living to say, hell yeah, I'll be there with you, governor, and I'll help with that fight. I mean, yeah. we have the people of this country. They just need to be brought together. We need leadership.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. 100%.
I think we see it in this Bitcoin community anyway, right? I mean, we see this where people from different backgrounds, different nationalities, different cultures are coming together. They're letting go of the past and they are forgiving. They are cheering each other. They're working together in this tight unison for a common purpose. You know, the laser eyes is because they're laser focused. And to see that people are looking to the present and looking to the future and coming together, what a unifying technology movement. I don't know what you call it. You know, this is the gateway to, you know, what we've talked about in the past is being a planetary type of species. You know, I forget the actual nomenclature on it, but I'm so ready for this.
Yeah. The thing about it's time for leaders to stand up. I agree with that, Bill. Thanks for saying it 100%. I've been pounding that drum for a long time and I agree. It is time. And the bottom line is this is a challenge. If you're a military guy, either active duty, former military, veteran, military adjacent, first responder, or you're just a dude who's sick of this society that's trying to cut the nuts off of men. And you want to get around a bunch of dudes who aren't afraid to embrace their manness and stand the hell up. This world needs guys who are willing to stand up. The time is now. Connect with us. Join up with us. You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to be military. We can add you to our chat groups and get you involved. We can get you around these guys. Let's go. The time is now.
Well, and like, there's nothing more masculine than like throwing a tantrum isn't masculine. Masculine is just like being able to look at the opposition and just saying, nah, like, I'm just not going to budge. I'm not running away. I'm not going to slap you in the face or punch you in the face. I'm just going to stand here and you can try whatever you want. I'm going to react, but you're probably not going to like the reaction.
Not only that, look, not everybody is a leader. Not everybody's cut out to be a leader. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're in a place where you just want to sharpen yourself, hook up with us, hang around, yeah. Get stronger, right? At some point, if you're called to do the leadership thing, do so. But until then, join ranks, man. Like, link up with us.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the biggest things about Bitcoin veterans. If you're out there, we're here to grow you. We are here to grow men. We are here to grow women. We are here for everything that most of the things, and then do it better than our forefathers did. This idea of sustainment is bullshit. The idea that we need to grow, that we need to use more energy, than the fact that we need, you know, more masculinity, we need more femininity in the real sense of it. You know, not that discounted bullshit where you go out there and work for fiat cuck bucks. In a you know, 9-to-5 or whatever high powered corporate job. No, the return of a mother, the return of a homemaker, the return of that the queen that holds it down while the man is out and is just absolutely undisturbed. Well, that guy can go out there and take care of absolute business if he needs to, because he knows that everything at home is all right. Like, that's what this group is here for, and to grow those things. To have this audience, you know, this, like Alex said, this is your call to action. This is the time. We do this every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We like to have a lot of fun with this. There are some serious times. We have some serious conversations. I think this has been one of them. But, you know, there comes a point in every show where we get to this really crucial point where we have to have a little bit more fun. We have to have some we have to have some levity. And I think that's probably what this generation, I think this is what this group of people from all walks of life, all cultures does, is we get to sit in the darkness. We get to understand exactly what the darkness is. We get real comfortable with it to the point where we laugh in its fucking face. And when we see
this
little bit of light on the horizon, we start to get giggly. I mean, God damn it. Greta Thunberg this week came out in favor for Bitcoin mining.
Wait, what?
Yeah, man.
As it turns out, that was a bunch of nonsense. But
well, maybe a little bit. But let's keep it going. Maybe she'll come around.
Okay, it is story time, though. By the way,
it is story time.
Many of our listeners anticipate this moment because it's great. We've got Randy Kelly in the audience. story. There it is. All right, Bill. So if you can think back on your time in the military or otherwise, but a time that was either super challenging or really sucky while you were going through it, but in hindsight is hilarious as hell now, what is your favorite story?
Something that was sucky but now is hilarious. That's going to be a difficult one. Let's see. I mean, there was the time, again, my first tour as a planner, going to Baghdad and working for Lieutenant General Odierno. And this is the first time that I noticed that time bends. There are times when, like right now, time goes so quickly for me. I think it's because I'm older and it's just that quick. Back then, going to Baghdad and realizing that you're going to work 7 days a week, no days off, and you're working for a three-star general, so you're not going to do like garbage work. You're going to do your best work, and it's on call, and you're going to do this for the better part of a year. aside for, you know, mid-tour leave, which, oh, by the way, I didn't get because I joined 3 Corps a little bit later into their deployment when my schooling was done and I joined them. They were supposed to be there for about a year. And then because of the surge, we sent more brigades to Iraq, and 3 Corps was told, your deployment's being extended longer. So I think they served 15 months. So they had no patience to listen to me talk about my mid-tour leave. So I was really quiet and I didn't say anything, and I sucked it up but you know, that sucked there for a while, but that guitar right there accompanied me to Iraq. So I just remember playing that a couple of times in Saddam Hussein's palace in the middle of the night with the amplifier. So that was kind of a surreal experience. Another surreal experience is also there at Alpha Palace. The Aussies, the Australians, had their own house with a swimming pool, an operational swimming pool. And so from time to time, they would invite folks to come swimming with them. So here you are in the middle of a counterinsurgency war, and I'm sitting there in the pool, in the Australian pool, in the middle of a hot Baghdad day, and here's Muqtada al-Sadr firing rockets across Baghdad, hitting close to the palace while I'm sitting here in the swimming pool. So it was very Apocalypse Now-ish.
Those are pretty good.
There it is.
I had this in the queue, obviously, ready to go. When I asked my first question, like, what inspired you to become Cav? I was betting that this was it. If you guys don't know, everybody knows. Come on, Apocalypse Now. Like, Charlie, don't surf. Like, we're going to surf this beach. God damn it. Like,
love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Dude, when I saw a cowboy hat on a guy in uniform, I was like, dude. Where do I get one of these? And they surf amazing. Yeah. So what years were you up there in Baghdad? Was that the late surge, 2006, 2007, something around there?
Yeah, 2007, 2008. That's when I was with 3 Corps, Multinational Corps Iraq.
Yeah.
And then I went again in 2009. I was a squadron XO up in the Nineveh Desert, up on the Syrian border, just to the west of Mosul. The rest of the brigade was in Mosul. They had a hell of a fight going on there. And then our squadron had a huge swath of land. We were in Tal Afar and Syrian border trying to stop insurgents or suicide bombers from infiltrating from Syria. That was the second tour.
As an officer, what was the craziest enlisted story that ever came across your desk where you had to take action and reprimand somebody, but it was, I don't know, maybe something you didn't want to do because it was absolutely hysterical and warranted, or something to that effect?
Well, I remember once upon a time as a young lieutenant, I was a scout platoon leader, and in Hohenfels, Germany, there was a training area there. And so we had a battalion commander. He was pretty much napalm in his veins. I loved him to death. He really was inspiring. So I thought, well, I'm a scout platoon leader. I got to figure out how to really bring the goods. So thinking outside of the box, maybe this is the planning part of me before I became a planner. So I, on my spare time, I would go down to what they called the box in Hohenfels and infiltrate it and map out the rat lines. What are you going to do? And then I crafted something called, I designed something called mouse traps, rat traps. In rat traps, I thought, well, okay, the enemy has their little reconnaissance vehicles that they're going to try to probe us. Humvees outfitted with, mods to look enemy. So I came up with these rat traps with these big spikes that go up through them. So it was 2 pieces of wood with a hinge, with then spikes coming up through with pre-drilled holes up above, and then an eye bolt, and then concertina would go back to a tree. And so I thought, well, I take we made all of these rat traps. And then we went in at night before we were probed by the enemy, put them out and deployed them in the ruts where these enemy reconnaissance scouts would obviously take, and covered it up with foliage so when they came through, nothing stops an enemy scout like getting your tire all, just chewed up with concertina that goes around your tire, tears it up, et cetera, and physically stops you. Well, what a brilliant thing to do, a knucklehead thing to do as a lieutenant. But I had an NCO who wasn't on board. He wasn't on mission. And I recently had chewed his ass for various and sundry things. So he got with the observer controller after we deployed all of these and ratted me out. Ratted me out. Yeah. I got my ass chewed anyhow for doing this, because this kind of goes against what you're supposed to do as a player unit. I would have preferred the ass chewing after accomplishing the mission using the rat traps. But anyhow.
No good deed goes unpunished, that's for sure.
Which is wild. And part of the reason why I think the military is getting weaker, because that was such a real world, like, this is what a thinking, acting enemy would do, because it's something I created, and let's go like actually test their capabilities. And then they would have, it should sharpen them from like, dang, like we didn't have plan for, we got to plan for this now or something else. And to actually have force on force training where guys are allowed to think, but the handcuffs are put on them so often, just like with when the Pentagon runs war games with China, they act like nuclear weapons are off the table. And it's like, well, yeah, you could do a lot of things if you act like nuclear weapons aren't real, but yep. We're not preparing for the real fight, are we?
You're exactly right.
I took your serious, your funny story and just went back to like serious land. So I apologize.
Thanks. We were all trying to have fun. You fucked it up.
Turn in the punch bowl once again. You're supposed to be the fun one, man.
I know. You got me on something.
If we need doom and gloom, we'll go to Mike.
Bill's bringing it out of me.
We're also now kind of crossing the line into that part where we start wrapping up the show. We got about 10 minutes left. Bill, I want to start with you. Thanks first and foremost. If you're out there in the Twitterverse or on YouTube, our guest tonight has been the amazing Bill Stebbins. And I got to tell you, you know, amped up, fired up. I'm going to go back and listen to this one probably tomorrow morning before I get the workout in, and you know, or enjoy it while I am working out. And I got to say, man, what a real pleasure to have you here. I can't wait to meet you in person. You coming to the Bitcoin conference or Pacific Bitcoin next year?
I would love to come to the Pacific Bitcoin conference. Absolutely, I'd like to hit them all.
All right, we're going to try to make sure that happens. And I want to give you the floor for any kind of closing statements and maybe call to actions from this group out there. I think you got a tremendous voice for it, and want to hear what you got to say.
I mean, the closing thing that I'd want to say is just my incredible deep appreciation for all the veterans that are out there. They don't, you know, they don't realize what they're signing up for when they sign up. But you know what? What I have seen repeatedly is that most of them sign up for the right reasons, and they join because they want to serve the nation. And they give so much of themselves and their families' lives. They give up so much of their, you know, the family sacrifice that they willingly put their family under is something that this nation can never repay. And to see the nation treat then the military so casually, so cavalierly, oh, we'll just send troops to Ukraine now. I heard something kind of along those lines. Judas Priest, you know, this is not right. You need to treat the military force of this nation as a sacred treasure. And it needs to be a national dialogue that we come to a sober understanding and acceptance that, yes, we'll go to war for X, Y, and Z reasons or not. But to just use the lives, the countless lives of all of these veterans so wastefully and so disrespectfully makes me sick. And I just want to make sure folks know that regardless of my personal feelings about how the military is used, and I still have some brothers, some sisters do that are still in service. And I don't want to throw them under the bus, but I want to appeal to them to think about what they're doing. And I don't hate them, but I want them to think about it and think about it dearly, because I know why you joined and I knew who you were earlier in our careers together.
Yeah.
But things have changed.
Yeah, man. Look, I'm going to go next. I'm so glad you said what you said, because this is something that's been on my heart for a while. What's happened in today's culture is that the military now is being treated with contempt and disrespect by the superior officers and by the politicians, and largely by the populace, because they're letting it happen. And like, I think it is high time that we bring back honor to the war profession. Like right now, these guys are out there, the dotted line. They're willing to stand in the gap. They're willing to give their life, right, the ultimate sacrifice if necessary for this country and the people of this country. You can't treat them like prostitutes. You can't just like treat them with disrespect. That is not okay. You're going to get a military full of guys who are willing to accept disrespect, which means we're going to lose when it matters. So we need to reverse course ASAP. And on top of that, that's one of the things I'm super excited for this group, this movement, because I feel like we're all on the same page with that. The warrior ethos, the Bitcoin ethos, the honor, the strength, the respect thing. Bringing it back. And I'm very humbled and appreciative and thankful to be a part of it. I will also say this, and I'll shut up. There's certain guys that keep joining this crew that are freaking so far above the bar. You know, we had Kevin Rash come on, Randy Kelly, shout outs in the audience, Gary Krause, guys like you, Bill. You're just raising the bar. And I hope that continues to happen, because damn. There is so much we can do.
I'll go next. I'll just say that in a couple of weeks, I have a call with some individuals of the policy level, and I'll see if I can't get some interesting minds to partake in whatever kind of brainstorm thing we want to put together going forward. Bill, I think it could be interesting if we can mix like the military minded with the more policy and government level, just to, as far as like what's going on with Bitcoin, to see like what all things we can prepare for and maybe push forward to sort of more, we're sort of doing the proactive and the reactive at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to close by just saying something live that nobody even knows about. I'm just going to like, we're going to do it live. Cause I've been mulling this over for a while with Bitcoin 2024, a lot of interest in going, a lot of interest in wanting to do some veteran oriented things. I bought tickets for it like the day they came out, which I think was like the day after Bitcoin 2023, way before we started any of this stuff. But like, I'm not even going to do the conference anymore. I'm doing like a side conference. We have too many things that we could accomplish. And if you want to show up and go to the conference and then come to one of our events, cool. Or if you want to come, I think we have enough things in the chute that we can put on a Bitcoin veterans, you know, side conference situation. And we definitely need to incorporate your contingency working group, get these minds together in a room to just like get on the mission and pump out some great ideas and build even better connections.
Like a war games exercise. That'd be a lot of fun.
So you've heard here first, Bitcoin 2024, Bitcoin Veterans Conference.
Let's go.
I love that you just announced this.
I didn't talk to anybody about this beforehand. I just put everybody on the spot just now.
I'm in agreement. I got you
100%.
Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, Mike. Most.
Hey, dude, you know I'm on board.
All right, now we just got to sell Gabe.
Yeah. Most of the speeches on stage are boring anyway. Like, fuck that stuff, right? Like, let's show up.
You can go back and you can watch the YouTube versions of it later, right? There's going to be nothing like getting a ton of us. By us, I mean the Bitcoin Veterans crew and the adjacent folks and the first responders and all the folks that want to hang with this crew together in one place for an extended period of time. That'll be badass.
Field party. I don't care what it is. It doesn't need to be elaborate. It doesn't need to be fancy. And you know what? Sometimes the suck makes it that much better anyway. So, you know, you get to tell stories. You get to maybe pass on something in your lineage to your progeny. You know, some of us that are normal call us your kids. I'll tell you what, Bill. I didn't know what we were in for tonight. I know you're really – go ahead, Alex.
You see this thing? Jethro is saying, when are we having a full BTC Veterans Conference? Okay, guys, all of you who are part of Bitcoin Veterans now, we can do that. Grow this thing 10x. Grab your boys. Drag them in. If they're Bitcoiners or Bitcoin curious, drag them in. Let's go. Get them involved. And in a year or two, we will do definitely a Bitcoin Veterans Conference.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's 2025, guys. I think by 2025, maybe late 2024, I don't know. Depends on how much you guys want to go embrace the suck and be outside together for an extended time in the elements. And honestly, like that's where it's at. We're not going to shy away from things. You know, this is the beautiful thing is like, you know, as soon as somebody says something out of somebody's mouth, like I'm going to tell you right now, by the time we get off of this show, there's going to be 2,000 comments across all the damn, you know, signal groups that we got out there, and people are going to be plotting and planning. We're going to know, you know, probably the best place and the right conditions for a solar eclipse or some shit like that at the same time that all this kind of stuff is going on. Your intensity in this conversation today, your call to actions, your embracing of the masculinity that is at hand, man, what a pleasure. And to be able to be part of this crew that has guests like you on to grow this audience and to grow the movement that is going to redefine the human species is something that just I don't know, man. If it, you need a reason to get out of bed in the fucking morning, like go back and start watching some Bitcoin veteran shows, because I'm going to tell you right now, every guest we've had on is passionate. They're well studied. They're well read. They have an overflowing cup of testosterone that is rightly placed. And I'm going to tell you, like, this is the kind of shit that guys need. This is the kind of direction and the agoge, if you will. I know we mentioned the Spartans earlier. The agoge is the schoolhouse, the comings up, the paying the dues, the getting hard when it matters kind of thing. And, you know, to have you sit here and rock that Cav hat the entire time, to lay it down, I've got to tell you, man, it's been a real pleasure. I can't wait to share a beer and a steak with you at some point. You know, thank you for coming in here. Thank you for spreading your wisdom and hanging out with us degenerates, you know, in this race for freedom that is the Bitcoin veterans universe. It is absolutely amazing. And to my co-host, Gabe, we know you're out there. Thanks for being in the audience. You know, he's the guy that put this together. Jordan, Mike, glad you're feeling better. Alex, you know, everybody out there in Twitter land and YouTube and everything else. And I know Alex has got something else to say before I wrap it up here.
Oh, I was going to say really quickly to Jordan, bro. When we figure out the range day thing, we should have an area, if possible, where dudes can just bring their tents and shit.
Yeah.
I'm curious. That'd be awesome.
There's plenty of land where we're going to be doing this. So, and I think the homeowner will be more than welcoming.
I'm going to need some type of tracked vehicle to sleep on top of. I'm not an earth pig.
Also, bring your Faraday cages for your phones. We don't need any GPS type of red flags. And, you know, we're likely to get drone strike. But this has been Bitcoin Veterans. We do this every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It is an amazing crew. We have even more amazing guests. And it's because of what you guys have done out there for spreading the word, for interacting, for what you're building. We have Skillshare going on. We have post-traumatic stress development going on. We've got warrior camps that are training for whatever life throws at you. We've got security protocols and security platforms that are decentralized that are going to be here for protection, not only at the conferences, but in moving from and to those. This community, hats off to everybody that's here that's putting it forth. And if you want to join us, get in touch with us. You can contact any of us on Facebook Twitter, and possibly YouTube. But yeah, contact us, get involved. We will plug you in. Jordan has launched early and got the fireworks. This thing is a wrap. Bill, thanks for hanging out. Alex, Mike, Jordan, Gabe, we love you out there. Get on the mission. Randy Kelly, Slick, Matt, Jeff Thoreau from France that we pronounce Jethro here in America, Bart, Matthew, and everybody else. The Coin Father, Obi, for all the work you guys put in. You guys are a fucking amazing crowd. Keep up the great work. Keep grinding. Wear these motherfuckers down. The hell with these lizards. We got this. Until next time, this is Bitcoin Veterans. Peace.
Bill, don't go anywhere.
Love you guys.